Today on Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff.
Trust God for today, yet plan for tomorrow. In other words, Lord willing, this will happen, that will happen. That's a way to look at it. That's true. Because the Lord has us for today, and we're in His hands. We've entrusted Him with our eternal soul. Can we trust Him with our bank account and what the wisdom He's given to us about it? I think so, for the day, as He leads us.
Your Spirit leads me on, and I'm running after you. I'll leave behind the worthless lies, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
We're talking about worry today on Sound Doctrine, both its causes and cure. We'll be in Matthew chapter 6, verses 33 to 34. In case you want to find your place there now. In the last few verses of this chapter, Jesus again is talking about worry. And for those of us prone to this sort of thing, this will prove to be valuable instruction. So jot down a few notes as we learn how to get on the pathway to freedom from worry. Here's our pastor and teacher, Jeff Johnson, on Sound Doctrine.
So we're to live in the moment, and that brings God glory. I love this psalm in Psalm 139, where he says in verse 5, "Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me." So God is behind us, He's in front of us, and He is what? With us. He covers the past. He takes care of the future, but we need to be living in the present. We have grace for today, for our situation, for our lives. The scripture says, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. So one day at a time. And He holds the future. The Bible says in Hebrews, He is the same what? Yesterday, today, forever. So that means He is faithful, He is changeless, and He is everlasting. We're to look to Him, and we're to look upon Him. Over in 1 Corinthians 10:13, Paul reminds us there, and he says, "Then there has no temptation taken you, but as such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." Especially for the future. He holds it, and yet we take one day at a time because we know that He's not going to give us more. And usually it's when we've got more than we say, "God, you said you wouldn't give me more. I got more. I'm going to blow it. I'm going to snap." But see, He says, no, He won't allow us to go through that. But it's when we're in tomorrow or living in yesterday that we've got too much. He says, hey, there's enough adversity today just to deal with the things that are going to come up today. Don't even get into the other things. So daily we are to, and here's the word believe, if you really want it defined. A lot of people think that believing is a mental thing, that you just believe. You know, I believe in Jesus. Oh yeah, I believe in God. You know, so quickly they say it. But the word believe is a lot stronger than that. It means to rely upon Him, to trust in Him, to adhere to Him, to cling to Him. So that's a strong word in the Greek, isn't it? What are you doing with your life? You say you believe. Well, how you behave is what you believe. And how are you behaving? Are you trusting Him? Are you relying upon Him? Are you clinging to Him? Are you adhering to Him? Then you can say, I believe, because I do all of the above. Moment by moment. for the strength and the needs of each day. He's able. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart, Proverbs 3. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him in all your ways, and he'll direct your path. That's the promise. Some have asked, so does this mean that it's wrong for a Christian to have a savings account? I mean, if we're just to take one day at a time, you know, you just live, God will take care of you, and you don't have to worry about nothing, man. You don't need a savings account. Or how about to prepare for the kids or the grandkids? Or, hey, here's the question, how about life insurance? Let's talk about that. Are we to have life insurance as Christians? Or how about retirement? You know, he said, and this is what Jesus said, take no thought. He didn't say we're not to think. He just said take no thought about the future. But he didn't say put your brain on neutral and just kind of be like the birds that just tweet, 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 or like a flower that just shine, 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 shine. Yeah. Doesn't toil nor spin. And the birds, they don't gather. They don't do all this stuff. He gave us illustrations of those, how the Father takes care of them. But he didn't say that we're to be exactly like them, because we're not. He's saying, don't be worried. Don't be filled with care, because that's sin. But we're not like the birds. We're to plant. We're to reap, because that's what we're called to do. We're to gather for the future. In fact, I found a scripture in 2 Corinthians in chapter 12 in verse 14. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians 12, 14. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. So there's an instruction right there. It's good to save for your kids, and we're even putting something away for our grandkids if the Lord is to tarry. You know what I'm saying? As far as their education. You know, we're putting a little thing away for them. That's okay. The Bible says it's fine. Over in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8. Listen to what Paul says to Timothy. He says, but if any man provide not for his own, and especially those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel or an unbeliever, because you didn't set up anything for your kids. You weren't diligent with your finances. The Bible talks about preparing all the time. It's good to prepare, but we're not to allow the future to worry or to distract us from the present. Well, I put my money in just one stock and it's going down. Well, that's a lesson, right? Man, we have to learn these lessons, you know? You don't do that. You spread it out, you know, and you could be careful about mutuals and all this. It, you know, it gets into the place if you're gambling with your money. If you gamble with it, you can lose it. Easy come, easy go. So we've got to be wise about how we put things away. And he condemns watching the crop. I mean, as a little kid, I planted radishes and I went out there every day. Week goes by. They're not, that's it. They're not coming up. This is bogus. They're dead seeds or something, you know? But then the next week, there was a little twing, you know, started to come out. Man, it took so long to get a radish out of there. Because I watched it every day, man. How's it doing today, you know? And he says, don't do that. Don't be overwhelmed by what is coming. And don't keep your eyes on the future. Deal with today. Yes, prepare for the future, but deal with today. There was a story I read about a pastor who was sitting in his study, and he had a foster child, and the foster child was upstairs in the second story, and the foster child just kind of falls out of the second story and lands on the pavement. Just flim. And the pastor calls for his daughter to come and get it, the boy, and to pick him up. And the thump and all the, you know, the neighbor heard what was going on. And the neighbor woman ran over with her kid and said, start chiding the pastor. What are you doing? You're not taking good care of your foster kids. What in the world are you doing? You allow him to fall out of a second story and he hits the ground. And yet they come to find out nothing was wrong with him. Nothing. Not a scratch. Just hit the ground. The sister came, or the daughter came of the pastor and got him up, and everything was fine. And while this woman was chiding the pastor, her daughter was sitting on a bench, fell over, and broke her arm. So the pastor says, now listen, now is this what I'm talking about? If you're going to have this anxiety, and you're going to want to be the caretaker of your child, you're going to have to carry your child all times in your arms. But I tell you what I do with my children, I commend them to the Lord. And then when things like this happen, they fall into the hands of an angel. And the Lord takes care of them. That's why I was just, you know, I looked at the situation. And yes, it could be serious. But, you know, I've commended my, given my children to the Lord. And the Lord takes care of them. So this worry and anxiety sometimes that just overwhelms us. Over things that we should not be overwhelmed about. It's true. In the world, there is tribulations. But Jesus said, I've overcome. Don't allow this place to crush you, to get you under its power. Don't allow that when you see things that seem to be overwhelming, don't let them get to you. Do you remember the story in Zechariah, that incredible prophecy in chapter 4? When Zerubbabel was surrounded with all of the ruin of the city, and it was piled high, and they came back to build the city walls, and they looked at it, and it was overwhelming to them. Everybody was just going, where do we start? How do you eat an elephant, you know? Well, you got to start with the tail. Didn't anybody tell you? But that scripture in verse 6 of Zechariah 4 says, listen, Zerubbabel, listen, everyone, it's not by might. It's not by your power, it's by the Spirit of the Lord this is going to be done. Remember, he had this constant flow of these golden pipes going from the olive trees that were on either side of this vision into the bowls, keeping them forever lit. This is the Spirit of the Lord. This is God. He's going to keep all this stuff going. That's his problem. He'll reduce the rubble. Don't worry about it. Just get in there and do your part. So where's your focus? There's nothing too hard for the Lord. He's God. So take no thought. It will ruin your life in the present. And then you won't be effective for the Lord in the present if you're worried about the future. Do your best. Save, you know, put these things away. Life insurance, it's good. But don't worry about them. Commit the rest. And a lot of people say, well, I don't know if it's enough, or I don't know, will it be there when I'm older? Don't worry. These are things for him to take care of. And if he lays on your heart to put a little more in, then put a little more in. But don't worry about it. Because it's ruining what's happening in the present. Trust God for today, yet plan for tomorrow. In other words, Lord willing, this will happen, that will happen. That's a way to look at it. And it's true. Because the Lord has us for today, and we're in his hands. We've entrusted him with our eternal soul. Can we trust him with our bank account and what the wisdom he's given to us about it? I think so, for the day, as he leads us. So these promises that are here that he's ending with are for Christians only. But now, let's turn to those who don't know the Lord, and let's look at Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1 is one of my favorite chapters in Isaiah because of how he just lays it out. And he starts, of course, with verse 18. And this is Isaiah 1:18. Come now. In other words, don't wait. Today is the day. Let us reason together. Always the Lord is seeking to reason with us, man. You know, come on. Christianity is not, you know, you were behind the door when the brains were passed out. No, you got brains and you use them and you reason. It's very reasonable. Let's reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet. Now, nobody needs to tell you that they're not. They shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Now, if you say you have no sin, you know, the Father is not in you, and you're lying. I mean, everyone knows that you've sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But God's saying, here, you give me your sin. It'll be as white as snow, as white as wool. If, he says, if you be willing and obedient, guess what? You shall eat the good of the land. If you're willing and obedient to come to the Lord, then guess what? You're going to just feast at the table that is set before you. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Your argument is not with me, with Jeff. If you want to argue any of this, it's with the Lord. The word of the Lord has said this. This is true. This will happen. You either are going to get blessed and feast at the table set before you, or you're going to be eternally lost. Without Christ, there is poverty and suffering. How many times do we need to look at the Middle East and what's going on over there? How many times do we have to look at Africa and the weird things that those people, you know, worship? Yet, thank God, there's a revival going on and sweeping through Africa. Many are being saved. But oh, the poverty, oh, the suffering, the worry, the anxiety. Do you remember I read this scripture, I think a few weeks back, over in Psalm 37, where David said, I have been young, and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. As long as I've lived, I've never seen the righteous hurting and suffering. And I think this is very interesting. He never said those who profess to know God, but he's talking about those who possess. They are the righteous ones. I mean, when you possess the Lord, you become a righteous one. Righteous in Christ. You're his seed. That means you become a godly man or woman. And they're the ones who are blessed. Those who are the Lord's. Guys, his promise is that all things will be added to us. To God's people. He wants to bless us. Faith distinguishes worry when it's applied. Without faith, you can't please God. We must walk in faith. We don't walk by sight. So we don't look at the situation. We don't look at the circumstance. We look to the Lord. And it changes everything. David talked to his soul and said, soul, trust in God. He's still on the throne. Look to the Lord. And faith grows. And as we apply it, as we relate it to our situation, whatever you're going through, it will grow. And last but not least, I love this scripture in 2 Corinthians in chapter 10, verse 4. 2 Corinthians 10, 4. This is so powerful because it has to deal with our minds and what we worry about and what is laid on us by the enemy. And boy, does he love to lay down a bunch of junk. And if you'll just go ahead and have a conversation with him and agree with him, he'll give you more to worry about. He's got a whole bunch of more stuff for you. But he says here in 2 Corinthians 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, carnal, but they're mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, what's the stronghold? Casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Anything that comes in the place of that God can handle it is a lie. Anything that comes that is negative towards, you know, you or towards your situation, it's a lie. God's able. And it says he brings it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. There is the victory. Getting your eyes upon the Lord, getting your eyes upon the Word of God, and you begin to understand that you're getting ripped off. You're not doing what a child of God is to do in that type of situation, and that is to trust the Lord, to look to the Lord, to stand upon his promises. That's why he gave them to us. So refuse anxious thoughts. Stand against them. Don't meditate on them. Bring your thoughts into the captivity of Jesus. Get your eyes upon Him, and the things of this world will grow strangely dim. I love Abraham's testimony because in Romans 4, it says in verse 19, Abraham, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body. It was all wrinkled and looking weird. That was now dead. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. So he looked over at Sarah and says, oh, you know, you look better in the earlier days, but you're looking all right. But her womb was dead. He didn't think about that. God promised him. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that he that had promised God, he doesn't lie, was able also to perform that which he promised. And so I remember sharing with you when I was going through the divorce and the separation that I went through, that Matthew 6:33 became something I stood on. That if I just give the Lord my heart and my life and seek Him first, that all these things that are seeming to overwhelm me, He'll take care of them, and I can trust Him with those, and then I can go on and see the victory, and His will be done. Whether my wife comes to the Lord or not, I'm praying for His will to be done. She has a free will, doesn't she? Thank God she came to the Lord. But it held me. It kept me. Because I was convinced that you're a big God. You can handle this. I can't. I can't even think about it. If I do, I just flip out. I got to give it to you. And you said you'd take care of it. And then add all things to my life. I trust you, Lord. See, the devil will never quit, will he? We have an adversary that is wily. He's connected. He knows how to put a scam on us. He knows how to get us down. He's been doing this for thousands of years. And he's a pro at it. We have an enemy that is very intelligent. And he knows what to throw up to you to bog you down. But you don't listen to it. You see, there's the key. You understand you do have an enemy. As a roaring lion, you know, he's big. He's got a big mouth and he's loud. But he's no teeth. His teeth have been jerked out on the cross. He might try to gum you. But it's just a big roar. Seeking whom he may devour. Who are the ones who he devours? Those that aren't into the Word of God. Those that aren't into fellowship. Those that aren't into prayer. Those that aren't into the things of God. They're the ones that are going to say, oh, I'm just going through it, man. Anxiety, worry. I don't know what to do. Since I became a Christian, it got worse. Well, hello? You just chose sides. Well, sure, it's going to get worse. Yet the warfare is sweet because the victories are awesome. And if there wasn't a war, there wouldn't be victories. And that's what the sweetest thing is walking with the Lord, getting victories on a daily basis. Because greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world.
That's Pastor Jeff Johnson on Sound Doctrine, and we've just completed Matthew chapter 6. In our continuing study of Matthew's Gospel. For a copy of today's message on CD, give us a call at 800-353-7553. The suggested donation is $5. Again, we're here to serve you at 800-353-7553. You can also listen to our studies in Matthew's Gospel at our website and through our mobile app. We're on the web at sounddoctrineradio.org, and you can download the Sound Doctrine podcast app in the App Store or get it from Google Play. Look for Sound Doctrine wherever you get your podcasts and at oneplace.com. Here at Sound Doctrine, we're committed to helping you build your life on the sound doctrine contained in God's Word. And we have a special resource to recommend that can help you in that endeavor. It's A Passion for Jesus. This is a collection of easy-to-read daily devotions written by Kay Smith, Linnea Heitzig, Karen Johnson, Sharon Reese, Karen Pulley, Gail Mays, and more. Ladies, you'll be greatly encouraged each day as they pour out their hearts, sharing personal experiences of God's faithfulness. I think you'll find it both edifying and encouraging at the same time. Available right now at sounddoctrineradio.org. Then click on store or call 800-353-7553. We're grateful for your prayers and partnership. Together, we can help people all over the world have access to sound doctrine in God's Word and grow as a result. You can make a secure donation online at sounddoctrineradio.org. Or again, call 800-353-7553. If you find these daily studies encouraging, we'd like to know. You can email us today at sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. Please also mention the station you listen to. That's sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. There's more to come in the Gospel of Matthew, and we'll pick up where we left off next time on Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff. May God richly bless you and strengthen you as you live according to sound doctrine. This program is brought to you by Calvary Chapel, Downey. So, Father,